care of those items. Any questions from yesterday or most that we dealt with in the morning, say this morning? So, okay, fine. So before we move on, I thought maybe I forgot to bring it with me, but Rabbi Penner had mentioned that the Mashgichim had suggested focusing on tefillah for Elul. So I thought maybe just to start with one idea that relates to tefillah. So anybody ever learned the Sefer Bavli Mishkan Evna? It's a fascinating work. It was only authored about 20 years ago, and it was written anonymously. And for a long time, nobody could figure out who the author was, and it's far more becoming increasingly popular, to the point that there are 10 volumes of the Sefer Bavli Mishkan Evna. And it was probably, I don't know, maybe 13 or 14 years ago, not sure exactly, something like that, that he sort of became discovered who he was. His name was Rabbi Tamar Schwartz, lives in Eretz Yisrael, and somebody from, I think from Rabbi Moshe Weinberger's shul connected with him, because Rabbi Moshe Weinberger was teaching his Torah, and was able to bring him into America. So I actually arranged, we had him come to here to Yeshiva.
What?
Yeah. Spoke in the annex. I picked him up at Shar Yashuv after he finished speaking at Shar Yashuv, and drove him back with a friend. We hung out in the park together. And I'll tell you how unbelievable and well received his sparring were. I assume they still learned also, but everything waxes and wanes. Yeah, although a lot of them were translated to English. Das Asmaka, Das Mikosefna, Know Yourself. A lot of them are in English also. And so it's about practical. And as the volumes go on, they tend to get a little bit more Kabbalistic, which is kind of where I stop. But the stuff which isn't so Kabbalistic, I feel like I can wrap my mind around a little bit. So I couldn't drive him back. So Rav Tversky asked me if he could drive him back, because he wanted to be able to speak with him in the car. So again, he's a very, very special person. So the Sefer really is about actualizing our emunah. And that fundamental to our Emunah Hashem is belief in Hashem. So you're saying, we're all sitting here in yeshiva, you know, hopefully that's not the challenge that we're faced with. If it is, we can certainly talk as well. But he says that oftentimes the emunah that we have is the same emunah that we had when we were maybe children. And it hasn't gotten to be more sophisticated as we've gotten older. And there's a difference between, much that he gives us, there's a difference between knowing that 5 plus 8 equals 13 and knowing that your hand is attached to your body. Right? You don't have to think. If somebody asks you, you know, math equation, so again, depending how easy it is or how difficult it is, so you may have to spend X number of seconds figuring it out. But you have to go into your memory bank and figure out what it is, and then you give over the information. If somebody asks you, is your hand attached to your body, and you have to think about it, you got big problems. You got big problems. Right? So there's a different type. There's an idea, there's a knowledge of something where it's in our minds, and there's a knowledge of something that is so a part of who we are, connected to us, that we don't even have to think about it. It's almost definitional to who we are. And he suggests that emunah is about taking our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sort of taking it from being something that we know that, is there God? Yes. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. And taking that to being something that if, you know, somebody woke you up in the middle of the night, it would be obvious you didn't have to think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is something that you could feel. Right? V'yadata hayom, you'll know it. And then it returns to your heart and it becomes something which penetrates. It becomes something which is something which you can feel, something which is almost tangible. And he goes through many different ways of sort of exercising and getting ourselves used to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, not just a concept, but is together with us on a constant basis. And he suggests pausing every so often and actually reminding ourselves, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. And there's a personal relationship. And it's not just about this big God who did everything else, you know, he put me here. Similar to what we spoke about yesterday also. That's what he did. So one of the other things that he said, and this one relates to a little bit to tefillah, is when we understand that our emuna is about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a personal way, then the role of tefillah in our lives is completely different, because tefillah is that opportunity to have that chance to talk to him. And he wants to hear from us. And he wants us to talk to him. He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And one of the suggestions that he has of how to do that is by, again, often when we're davening and we take the sitter and we're saying the same Shemon Esrei multiple times a day. So, you know, you can start in YU Shemon Esrei, and by the time it's finished, you know, we've been around the world in many different places, and our feet happen to be in the same place, but our minds have, you know, done a full Tefillah Sederach, and then who knows where they are anymore. And again, it's not uncommon, and it's a challenge, and it's a reality. So one of the ways within Tefillah of doing it is to add in your own bakashas. If you personalize it, and again, in English, in Hebrew, in the appropriate bracha, in Shema Koleinu, Elokeinu, so wherever it is, so then, when you personalize it, you create that connection. But the other thing that he suggests, and I find this to be even more powerful, is to daven at times when we're not davening. Meaning, even at times, there's no reason that we can't talk and we can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the day. And if we're going to be going into shir, we say, no, Hashem, please just help me understand shir. We're going to be going into classes in the afternoon, you know, help me stay awake. Whatever it is that we need, if we make it, again, even a few seconds, you know, before we go home, you know, there shouldn't be any traffic on the bridge. Whatever the tefillah is, or the things that we want, if we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it keeps that relationship going, and it does two things. First of all, personalizes tefillah more. And the more we personalize tefillah, then it will impact our other davening as well. And then the other thing that it does is it personalizes our relationship. And the more we bring Hashem into our day, throughout the day, whatever the context may be, and the more reminders we have, then the easier it is to try to turn it from just a viadata hayom into a v'hashevosa el levavacha. So in terms of tefillah, maybe that's a point that we could sort of internalize and act upon, is trying to personalize it, trying to daven outside of davening. Inside of davening has its own challenges. But and if we can work on that, that's great also. And again, davening at a minyan where you can do more than just say the words is certainly helps for that. But davening in a personal way hopefully can inspire our tefillos. Okay, Baruch Hashem, here we go. Okay, so what we did yesterday, I know I had you guys thinking a little bit more than reading this morning, but I think there's a value in doing both. So let's try to go through. I think you guys have thought through many of the options already, but let's go through it. Let's go through it together. Yeah, what we established yesterday is that there are four avos nezikin. Why is that significant that there are four avos nezikin? Because avos A have to be something which is from the Torah, and B it has to be that it has a tolda. It has to be something which is a category. If we can't define a characteristic of an av and say this is why shor is an av, then it's not. Then we're missing something. Because the Torah is not just giving us a halacha, it's giving us an example of a rule. That's what we have to keep in mind. The cases in the Torah are examples of a principle. Maybe that's a better way of saying. Examples of a principle. And we have to... Can you hold the chair? I'm going to file a formal complaint. That and the air conditioner from 1971. The principle is what we have to figure out. And then, like Rashi told us, when the Mishnah is going to go through in step two, is that if we have four principles, which are going to be represented by the cases that are written in the Torah, it must be that each one of them is necessary. Because if it's not necessary, and it's extra words, we don't have extra words in the Torah. Right? So that brought us to the second part of the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say? So we said, Lo hare ashur kahare hamave, v'lo hare hamave kahare ashur. So the first thing that it said was that shur and mave, we can't compare the two. If I had the rule of shur, then I would not be able to learn out the rule of mave. The Mishnah doesn't tell us why. For one example of it, the Tosfos over here, if you look at the Tosfos, Lo hare ashur kahare hamave, Tosfos introduces us to what the Gemara is trying to do over here. Okay, anybody want to read the Tosfos? Yep. Okay, Ethan, give it a roll. Lo hare ashur. Because it's more a kal. Okay, so Tosos here makes 2 points. One is that what are we trying to do? What are these loharis trying to do? So we said they're trying to figure out why we need to have all of them. What are we looking for? So again, let's just take for example, the example that Tosos gives is let's assume for the moment. That mave refers to shame. Okay, that is the shita of
Shmuel.
Good. Let's assume that mave is shame. So now we need to figure out if I only had shor, and what's the example of shor? Is keren. Again, this is going to become a little clearer and more confusing simultaneously a little bit later on. But for now, the example that the Torah gave for sure is Karen. Karen is a
horn.
What does an ox do with its horn?
Gores.
Right? Good. So we have the example of shore is that the ox gores, and the example of mave, right? The category of mave is that it is shame.
Choose.
What?
Choose.
Chain?
Choose.
Choose, correct. Yeah, so let's say, an example this morning, it walks by and eats your orchids. Eats somebody's orchids. My cow. My cow doesn't damage in the same way. You know, the female cow is not running around the goring like the bull. Right? They're different tendencies. So when I want to figure out right now, lo hareze kareze, what am I looking for? Am I looking for a kula, or am I looking for a chumrah? The Tosfos says that we're looking for a kula. So what does that mean? That means, right? So let's take for example, I know shor. Right? The first parsha of the Torah is talking about shor. So I know that if my animal gores a person and kills him, the Torah says that I am chayav. I want to know, can I derive from that? Now somebody comes to Beis Din and says, your cow ate my orchids. Your cow ate my orchids. Is he going to be chayav to pay or not? So if all I have in the Torah is the example of shor, of keren, do I know to be mechayev or not?
No.
So I have... Not because why?
It's different.
Oh. So Tosfos gave us a svara. Because again, we need to derive a principle. Right? Just the fact that the examples are different is not in and of itself a reason to say that we can't carry it over. Because we said that the has to be an example of a principle. So what principle? So Tosfos makes a suggestion that the principle is kavanaso la'azi. That its intention is to damage. So if shor means that its intention is to damage, then, and this is not, so now I know that it is different, right? Shein is not intention to daven, it's intention to eat, right? It's a natural thing that a par is going to...
Either way, it parrots per se on the owner.
What?
He's being negligent. So even if
you're talking about shmirah, we'll get the shmirah. Right now, we're talking about what the action of the animal. All of these things, in the end, are going to be that there's a lack of some sort of lack of shmirah. Right? But that's how they happened. But let's get there. But in terms of defining the category, so if I know shor, now I need to figure out is shein. If I want to know if I can learn out from shein, what happens if shein is more kal? Can I derive it? Again, kavanasa lahazik, is that more of a reason? Is that
common? Wouldn't it be a kavachomer? If you know the more strict thing, then something that's not as strict.
Well, is that a kavachomer?
Like if you could lift 1,000 pounds, you could lift 100 pounds.
But think of it this way now. What's the kavachomer? The chomer. The chomer is saying that. If you would say this as a kavachomer, then what you'd have to say is that if it's true that my shor, which actively has kavana to damage another person, is chayiv, right?
It would be the other way.
It would be the other way.
If something just...
That's what Tosafot is trying to point out here, is that chomer here and kal here, this is a very important distinction. Chomer here means more of a reason to say that you are obligated to pay. Kal would mean there is less of a reason to say that you are obligated to pay. So that's what Tosfos says at the beginning here. So lo harei hirish ein kulaso shoshur ki kulaso shomave. Right? Whatever is more is most kal about shor is not true of mave. I mean, mave has a different kal. If something is going to have a kula to it, then I'm not going to be able to learn out and say that if this thing is more reason to say you're chayiv, then you're going to also be chayiv by something where it's less compelling to assume that you are chayiv. Right? So applying that to shor and shein, which is the case that Tosos is talking about, if I know that when it's keren, when I has kavanos lahazi, you're chayiv, can I then say that are going to be chayiv for mabes? The Tosafot says, no. Because there's a kula in terms of, again, a kula, I'm not talking halachic kula, that's what's a little confusing here. There's a kula in terms of less of a reason to say that you are chayiv. Is there less of a reason to say that you're chayiv when it's sort of just naturally doing its eating as opposed to actively wanting to damage? That is more of a, that's less of a reason to say that you are chayiv. Right? So now Tosfos has set us up. That's what we're trying to do throughout the Mishnah. Okay? So now, if the Mishnah then says, Velo zeh vazeh sheyesh ben ruachayim ki harei ha'esh she'ein bo ruachayim. So what does that now mean? We could say that if we put together what Zev is Zev?
Shor
and Mavet. Good. If we put Shor and Mavet together, I can't derive Eish from it because of Ruach Chayim. Because, just one second. Because Shor and Mavet have Ruach Chayim. Yes, sir, what's
saying? Yeah, no,
correct. Right. Ruach Chayim in Svara, is that more of a reason to say that you are Chayim?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? That seems clear. That's obvious, right? So if it's true that when it comes to Shor and when it comes to Eish, then, I'm sorry, Shor and Mava, right? Shor and Mava, that they both have Ruach Chayim. What does Ruach Chayim mean? Presumably, not that they're, animated versus inanimate.
We Maybe culpability.
Because as somebody, like Ryan pointed out, I'm not going to say that about flowers that are technically alive. Ruach Hayim seems to be that it says live mobility, maybe is a better way of saying it. It moves. Well, not only intention damage, but Mavet includes. Mavet have intention to damage?
Maybe like...
Shame. If Mavet is shame, then no. So we want Mavet to be able to include everything.
Maybe like responsibility, like choose. Maybe it can kind of choose what it's doing. I mean, animals in a...
Ruach Hayim. Okay, yeah, so again, so Ruach Hayim on some level has to mean that it has some sort of life force that's contributing to the damage. Wow. And it's movement slash it's...
Well, fire moves also.
Right, I'd say it needs like the ability to move on its own, I would say.
Right. So, I'll read to you the Shittim Kuventus that maybe doesn't exist because we couldn't find the Shittim Kuventus here, but I have it in my notes. Listen to how we... I'll try to find it later. Listen to how he defines it. This is what we were struggling with, right? Says the Shittim Kuventus, Klomar. Klomar, again, so he's trying, and Klomar always means that it's not 100% clear. He's trying to figure it out. The Kaven She'ein Bo Ruach Hayim, so he's coming from which direction? Ein Bo Ruach Hayim, he's coming from Eish's direction, right? Because the Eish does not have Ruach Hayim. So he's comparing now and saying, why can't I derive Eish from Shor and Maga? The Kaven She'ein Bo Ruach Hayim, Ein bo koach lahazik, elo in kein dover acher meruach meurako. It has no strength. It has no ability on its own to damage. It needs to have another factor. What's the other factor that Eish needs in order to be able to damage? Wind. Wind. And he says that in the next line. Da'ainu haruach amolicha also. Eish is burning in its place. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to cause damage. Ruach Hayim, he seems to be defined for us, means that on its own, it can damage. On its own, it can damage, right? Like what Ryan was saying. Is that your question?
No.
Good. So that's what the Shittim Kuventus tells us. Ruach Hayim, because again, Ruach Hayim can't just mean that it's alive, because alive is not enough when we're talking about svaros in terms of you know, whether we should be chayv the damage or not. Then he writes, and remember what he was just saying. He's thinking from the perspective of Eish. As in, Eish does not have ruach chayim, which means that it doesn't go on its own. Therefore, dinu means makes sense, right? It's logical. Shelo liknososo. That we shouldn't put a knas. What's a knas?
Fine.
Knas, fine, punishment. So because there's another factor involved, and again, this is everything that he's saying logically follows from what we've been saying until now. What we're looking for is this logical reasons why you should not be chayiv. So now I have a svara to say, by Eish, you shouldn't be chayiv. Because there is another factor. It's not just that your animal, which again is somewhat your responsibility, is to damage on its own. There's another factor involved. It's the wind. But when it comes to...
Why
is it regular
karen?
We'll leave for the
moment.
But when it comes to the first two, Yesh Bahen Ruach Hayim, they have life, which now again for us means mobility to be able to damage. The kolpeis sherotz in the chol and the hazik, and at any moment they could potentially damage. Umishum hachi, and therefore dinu shenichnososam. Therefore, it makes sense to say that he is more liable. Now, again, this does not mean that if we know sure Karen, that shame would automatically be chayiv. There we still have a svar to mechalik between those two. But once the Torah tells us that both of them are chayiv, so then, like what Nidan was saying before, you see that as a rule, if you damage, if your animal damages, it doesn't matter if it has kavan, it doesn't matter if it's just hungry, it doesn't matter what the reason is, you are chayiv for that. Good? So again, the Mishnah is trying to figure out what the logical progression is to say that we need to have all of them. The more we put together, and that's what we see at the end of the Mishnah, then the broader the rule becomes, because we have more contributing factors to the rule. It doesn't mean that each one loses its characteristic, but we have to then, when we're talking about the broader picture, we can take everything into account. Okay? So that's the Ruach Hayim. Let's just see Rashi for a second. And Rashi just fills in what we've been saying all along. Had the Torah not written Eish, Hava Mina Li Pater, I would have thought that you would be Pater. See that line in Rashi? Yeah, look inside. See Rashi? Again, going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that these two, Shor and Maveh, that don't have Ruach Chaim, right, are not like Eish, which does not have Ruach Chaim. Who cares? What does that mean to us if it doesn't have it? So Rashi says, if the Torah had not written H, Hava Mina, then I would have thought Li Pater, that you would be Pater. I'm going to throw something out parenthetically right now. We're not going to, it's something to think about. But what Rashi is telling us is that if I only would have had one, right, then I would have had a Hava Mina, that the next one is going to be Pater. Right? That other type of damage would be Pater, because we're not going to be Mechayev without it. Does that mean, again, we're not going to discuss this, does, if you learn, like Rav, that Maven is Adam, does that mean that there was actually a Havamina, that if Shor is Chayev, Adam would be Pater? Did I just confuse everybody? I'm taking a step back for a second. Rashi just told us something which, again, Rashi just spells out something else which should have been obvious. Rashi's telling us that each time we're saying, I need to have Shor, and if I only had Shor, I couldn't learn anything else, then what would the status of everything else be? The status of everything else would be that you are Pater.
That is talking about specifically fire.
That's the example here. But he's saying that every time I'm saying Lo Hare, you know, that this one's not like the other ones, that means if I had Torah hadn't written it, it would be Pater. Therefore the Torah writes it, now it's Chayav, right? Right?
Wait, no, wait, sorry. Why,
yeah.
Why would he be Pater?
So, again, I think the starting point is that why would you be Chayav? Again.
A Tolda
requires that you figure out how it fits into the Av. Are you asking on the other part?
No.
Okay.
Why would you say that H, Pater, just because it's not written in the Chumash?
Everything else does not fit into the category. Right? Let's take, for example, if the Torah only had Shor and Maveh is Shane, and I would have lit a fire in my barbecue, right, and a wind came, and I would have been Pater. I would have been Pater at the Torah. Tell us why? Because none of those avos include automatically something which is Ein Bo Ruach Chaim. Once we've spelled that out now, I'm just throwing out there the possibility. Now go back to step number one. What was the first step in the Mishnah? That you need to have Shor and you need to have Maveh. If I would have only had Shor, if the Torah had only written Shor, right? Then I would have said that if my animal gores another person, I'd be chayiv to pay for damages, right? Now, Maveh, I was assuming, to make things easier to understand, that Maveh was Shane.
Adam.
If it's Adam, does that mean that there's only a Hava Mina? But that means there's a Hava Mina in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. There's a Hava Mina in the Mishnah that Adam would be putter, even though your animal would be chayiv.
Sounds crazy,
but it sounds like, again, it's only a halakha. The Torah reveals to us that it's true. But it seems to me, if you learn that mavet is Adam, and you say that I couldn't learn anything else out, is it really possible to say such a thing? We'll leave it. Maybe we'll get back to a different time. The truth is, you have the flip side question. This parenthetical, I'm just confused, you guys. Don't worry. But you have the flip side question on Shmuel, right? If Adam is not included, so where does Adam fit in the end of the story? So again, it could be that once we have the rule in the end of Shmuel,
Shmuel says Adam. Shane.
What?
I mean, on Rav. Shmuel says Shane. Rav says Adam.
Right. So according to Shmuel, if I punch you in the face, do I have to pay?
Are you saying you had a seat?
Where does he know it in the end? So again, it could be once you have all four, you know, it's dark in the house, maybe it fits in, or maybe there are other answers to that. So according to either of them, we have a question that has to be dealt with, but again, it's on the level of a habam, you know. Just you sort of think it through, it's a fascinating possibility that's not true.
The way around. If it was Adam, where would Shane fit in, what shore?
If it was Adam...
Where would Shane fit in, like under shore or
something? Yeah, presumably. Presumably, once you put shore and some of the other ones together. Okay?
You're saying it would be a shore, not Adam. You would be able to derive Adam shore. That's what you're saying?
That's what it sounds like.
But
no?
A person versus the
No, it's like, it sounds like a California a little bit. Maybe
so. How would you be able to derive?
How would you know Adam is Zayed?
Yeah. They're both going to be but one's Adam, and one has a will, one doesn't. But they're different. Even though they're both
right, so you're an saying, animal that's random or whatever, more so, and how much more so a person that knows exactly what he's doing?
Right, you're saying a person's worse.
Could be, yeah.
There's more, yeah. That's my point. How could you possibly have that happen?
I just think it's not the case.
How could you possibly have that happen? I'm not 100% sure what you mean.
Are there a certain amount of rules you can apply to one?
No. I mean, there are in some contexts. When it comes to halacha, we see nice. There are
like, certain... Most people already put things in four specific categories, when we have subcategories, right? Problems and tokos.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, well, since Shor or Mahavad had there, Kalachomer, I don't.
Probably. Or maybe. We have to figure that out. Well, let's leave it for the end. It's going to come up. It's going to come up. Okay. Here we go. Fine. So again, so what's this chiluk again that Rabbi Yehonasan said? Right. It sounds like right. He's saying the reason that a person is chayiv for the damage when it comes to his right. Because again, even the person not doing the damage, it's the person who has to pay. It's not the shore that has to pay. It's the Baal HaShor. So when it comes to something which has Ruach Hayim, what did Rabbi Yehonasan say? He says, you have more of a responsibility to have watched it. You didn't watch it, and therefore you should have done something to prevent the damage. You didn't do it, and therefore you have to pay. Mashenke, when it comes to Eish, I would have said that there is, and we'll see this term being thrown around a lot, there's a Koach Acher Mevurako. There's another strength mixed in, which is the wind, is another factor beyond my control and beyond just the thing itself, and therefore I would have said you're not going to be at fault. Good? Good.
Does that mean, like, can you take that to extreme? Like,
take anything
to extreme. Can you say that, like, theoretically, that if I lit a fire and, like, right next to a house that's made out of, I don't know, straw? Let's just say.
And there was no wind?
No, and there was a wind, and the whole thing burned down. Like, oh, Hunter, it wasn't me, it was the wind.
In the Havamina?
Yeah.
Presumably. How could that be? So again, we were discussing in past...
That's like drama or something?
Yeah, so Ryan was throwing out this morning a little bit. Also, maybe there's some sort of drama here. Yeah, maybe that's how we would view it. And again, even when it comes to grama is Pater Bidei Adam, but not Midine Shemayim. right? You still have a
punishment.
It's still called a moral obligation to pay. Yeah.
Like you still have a seat in Gehenna or something.
That is not, that's not directly have to do with the Grumma on Shabbos. It's a different story. But Grumma, when it comes to damages, we assume that there is some sort. There is a level of obligation. Okay. Good. Yes. Okay. So let's move on to the mission a little bit. So now we said, now the Torah is mechadish to us that there is H. So now that we know that there is H, the question is, if I have all three of these, can I learn how Bor? Right? V'lo zeh v'zeh shedarkan leileth u'lahazik, k'arei abor shehim darka leileth u'lahazik. So what does zeh v'zeh mean?
It's the three except for Bor.
Three except for Bor. So Rashi, you can notice, writes that. Lo zeh v'zeh eilu shloshtan. Why does Rashi say that?
Because Zevazeh sounds like two.
Very good. That's a minor point. But again, Rashi's trying to say the words Zevazeh literally are this one and this one. So this one and this one you might have thought means two. But in this context, it's clear that it means all three of them.
I just read the Pelu.
Maybe to keep it parallel to the first one. Mishnayos do sometimes care about style. And it does say before in Zevazeh when it was referring to two. So maybe kept the language, wanted to keep the language parallel. So now, we're figuring out now that we know that it's not just about Ruach Hayim, because I have included Eish, can I extend it to Bor? So the Mishnah says, no, why not? Because the common denominator of all three is that they are moving damagers, right? Shadarko Lelech Shadarka Leilech Ulahazik, which is a common denominator between all three. Whether it required the Koach Acher in order to be able to move, or whether it was moving on its own, that's not what's significant just right now. But it moved. It's a moving target and a moving damager, as opposed to Bor, which is stationary. Right? Okay. So what's the school of Bor? Why is the fact, again, we mentioned the last time. Yeah, that's a distinction. That's a difference. But does that difference really matter? Right? Why is it, right? We can have distinctions, we can have a chiluk that's not mechal. Why is it that the fact that the other three damages move in damage, why is that a reason to say that a Bor, which doesn't move, is not going to be chayim? Is that, what's the kula? It has to be a kula, right? We're looking for a kula in Bor, which would tell us that I can't assume that if I'm chayim for sure, for mana and for ish, that if I damage, my pit damages, that I'm not going to be chayim. So again, the fact that it doesn't move is true. The Bor is not going anywhere. Why, logically, what's the svara to say that that's a kula, that that's a kula which should then indicate that you're not going to be
chayim? Sounds the opposite.
Chayim. We're going to say that, what's the svara, is the opposite?
Say, okay. The Bor doesn't even move, and you're chayim. Then you should be chayim for the other things, not.
That's once we know it's chayim. That's once the Torah teaches us about Bor.
Right, so I'm saying.
Your question is going to be a good question in a minute. Before the Torah teaches us, we're one step behind you.
So right? I don't think it's an idol.
That guy's a lot of steps behind us.
I think.
We're saying right now. If the Torah wrote, sure, Maveh and Eish, and did not write Bor, and somebody fell into the pit that I dug, I would have said that I am putter.
What's the question? Why would you say you're...
What's that svara? I understand it's different, but why is that a svara to say that I am putter? Yes?
I would say you can be chayav to be more likely that you have
it's passive.
It's passive, yeah.
Right? At the same time, it's like it's less preventable, essentially. Oh, so you guys are reinforcing my question. Say, I would tell you the opposite. I would say that if I know that a person is going to be liable to the damage caused by a moving object, which is much harder to be able to watch.
You're puttered from
so time. Shouldn't we say that for sure you'd be chayiv when it comes to a boar, where you know what the risks are, it's not so difficult to do anything about, shouldn't you have more responsibility to watch your pit that's sitting there, and you should definitely be chayiv?
No.
Good, that's my question.
I said
agree
the
with
opposite.
You said the opposite, the other opposite.
Really? No,
which opposite?
Maybe I'm confused. No, I think.
Again, that's the question. What Lidan said is really the question. Right? I said it more generically, he said it on target. Right? If I only had Shor, Mava, and Esh, what's the svar? Why would I not say that if. You're right, those things all move. Those things all move. But maybe it's more logical to say that if I'm chayiv for things that move, I should certainly, why am I chayiv for those things that move? Presumably, like what Rabbi Yohanan said, is because you have a level of responsibility. You should have been looking out for the potential damage. So shouldn't I certainly have been looking out for a boar where I know that it can damage, it's not going anywhere, and it's so easy. It's so easy to watch. Shouldn't I have more responsibility? And we need to see a svara why bore I have less responsibility. Because we're looking for kulas.
I'd say less because people have to have common sense. And like if they see a hole, like not to fall into it.
Good.
When it comes to, I'm saying when it comes to like an animal. No, but I'm saying like when it comes to an animal, so like, I don't know, even if I run away, theoretically it chases after me and gores me.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what Moshe is saying is the fact that it's not a moving and not a moving obstacle is less of a reason to be mechayev, the owner, to guard it because it's easier for the person to avoid it.
As opposed to an animal that's chasing after you.
Good. Eitan counters and says, well, what did the Pesukim say? Think on the Pesukim from yesterday. The Pesukim said, "V'chivtach ish boruk yichre ish bor b'lo yichasen." A person digs or uncovers a pit, v'nafal shama, and falls into it, shor o chamor. Not a person. Doesn't say the person falls in. Says an animal fell in. Should the animal have had that same responsibility?
Yes.
Wait. And Rashi tells us, who was in the Chobeim of Achaya? Any animal. So go out to Rosh Hashanah, anywhere to Shem Kamar, it means everything. Velonem or Shem Kamar, why did it say Shem Kamar? So that we can darsh it El Shor. Velo Adam. Chamor, velo Kelim. We're going to address it later on. That Adam actually would be excluded. Why would it be excluded? Because of what you said. Because he should have been watching it. Your svara is so strong, right? When it comes to Adam, that ain't a nami. Again, it's a Xeris Akas, but again, it's a Xeris Akas that we can understand. That when it comes to a person falling into a pit, you're right. The person who is the Baal HaBor maybe should not be responsible. Maybe he isn't responsible. Yeah?
So if you were to only have the other three and not four, you could say anything which moves is I have no guard. So which doesn't move, okay, right? The logic is not responsible. So for you, that would be the Kaal. You would be able to learn out Bor.
I would say that Bor is more Kaal because doesn't move, and therefore
I think he's asking why though, just because it doesn't go. Right? That's the whole question.
Right, what's that svara? That's the chiluk that it's making. The chiluk it's making is moving versus not moving.
Can I respond to this?
Sure.
So fine. So it's the animal, not the person. But you could say that the owner of those animals should have been on top of his animals and not and making sure that his animals don't fall in the hole.
Right. You could say that.
Or if I take a flock grazing, I'm watching every.
Right, but again, there are going to be you know, individual exceptions to every rule. But we can at least say here, maybe, that maybe whoever the animal ultimately there isn't. The same way we want to put responsibility on the Baal HaBor to watch his boar, maybe there's a level of responsibility on the Baal HaShor to watch his shore. Not just from not goring, but from where he's going also. And he falls into a pit, and it was an avoidable obstacle. So maybe, again, we just need there to be a Havoi. We need to be a Havoi. It has to be a good svara, but it doesn't have to be, you know, the most compelling svara.
Basically, trying to figure out how, you know, why.
Why would you know why? Why the Torah waste the ink?
Right. I mean, why would it be? Why would it be more kal? Why would it bore me more kal? And that we wouldn't have assumed that you're chayav from the other three. That's the whole habamin you're asking.
Right.
So, what about a bore is more kal, meaning less responsibility on the
less of a reason to say that
the guy is responsible for the damage.
Right. That's what we want to figure out. The Mishnah says it's because it's not moving. So, what is not moving? So again, it would seem to be, you know, something along with what the lines of what Tzimosha is suggesting, that the fact that it's not moving, as much as it's easier to watch it, it's also easier for it to be avoided. It's only the animals? Okay, but there is a level of responsibility, presumably, on the Baal HaShor to watch his animals as well.
I can actually challenge myself, kind of like what you're saying, because, no, at the same time, like, if I have like animals and they're grazing in front of me, I'm not going to be able to see the hole that's in front of me.
It's true. But again, we need there to be a svara. It does not have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be the best svara.
So then, what do we do to counter it? Like, obviously, we know
the Torah says it. Once the Torah says it,
but we do. What's the svara? Do we know the svara?
Well, we don't know the individual svara necessarily, why the Torah says it, but we do know that once the Torah says all four, the Mishnah is going to summarize for us, you know, what that teaches us, that we have these four categories. What's the common denominator of that? Okay, Rabosai, we spent a bunch of time this morning trying to figure out the different permutations of the different mazikim. What would be the din if the Torah said, or what would have been the problem, if the Torah said, Shor, Mave, and Bor, would I know Ish? Shor, like, the Torah wrote the parshios of Shor, Mave, and Bor, would I know Ish? Let's think it through out loud. Okay? Let's think it through together. Shor, we know that we need both Shor and Mamet. Right? That much we seem to be able to understand. The problem with Shor and Mamet, in terms of including Ish, was that Shor and Mamet have Ruachayim. Does Bor have Ruachayim? No. No Ruach Chaim for a boar. So if I put it together, Shor, Mada, and Eish, do I have to worry about Darkon Leilech Lahazik? Darkon Leilech Lahazik is not the defining factor anymore because the boar ain't going anywhere. The boar is still.
Theoretically, you would know.
So why do we need the Torah to write Ish? What?
We know the end result is that you wouldn't know because the Torah has to teach it.
Right. But the Mishnah's been going through it. Now I'm asking.
You're asking why we would have... The Habina would have been yes or no, basically?
Well, we need an answer to the question. The answer...
What's your question? The question is, would we know...
The Mishnah is trying to go through the different permutations and figuring out why we need the various possibilities. Why would the Torah need to write all four? So presumably, the Torah needs to write all four, because if one was missing, we would not have known it. I want to know if Aish was the only one that was missing. Would I? Is there any reason that I would not have known? That I would not have known Aish. What? Well, I know Dark and Lilith from.
Then you think it's only
better from
that.
But I have Bor. I don't. That's not a defining factor because Bor does not have Ruach Chaim and it's not Dark and Lilith from Hazik.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, one second. Hold on to that a second. Let me speak to the question. Is clear.
Are you sure, Mavet?
This is where I was saying. Okay. Let me get that. I'm going to get myself some dry erase markers. Okay. If you remember, I'm not so good at marking these. This is what I'm asking. We have four categories. And it's very clear from the Mishnah that the Mishnah is assuming that we need all four. That we need all four. My question is, if I would only have three out of four, Shor, Mave, and Bor, is there any reason that I would not know H? Why did I pick those three? And the first two amongst each other we understood why we needed that at the beginning of the Mishnah. The common denominator between them was Ruach Chaim. Aish does not have Ruach Chaim, but Bor also doesn't have Ruach Chaim, but I need Bor over Aish because Bor is worse because it doesn't move. But Dark and Leila Shulahazik now must be should be able to include Aish as well. So what would be missing if I did not have Aish. Does that make sense?
I think he had it.
Yeah. The Koach Achim. Koach Achim Urofo. See, you're right. None of these cases have Koach Achim Urofo. Is Koach Achim Urofo more of a svara to be makil than a bor which has no koko? And Kolach and Urabo was a good svara to say why if I have ruachayim is this not as bad as ruachayim? But Kolach and Urabo was still a moving target versus a bor that's not a moving target or the opposite target, a moving damager. So you're right. There is a difference that we don't have any example in that it's Koach and Meurabo, but is that really a compelling reason to say that if I know a boar which is not moving at all, that Aish, which has a Koach and Meurabo, should be more of a reason to say it's Pachter?
I think one. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
You think it's less of a reason to be Chaya for the fire?
Than a boar, again. Koach and Meurabo was a good reason to say why if something's moving on its own, it's less of a reason to say you're chai. But if I have a boar that's not moving anywhere, you're chai if you fall to a boar, is Koach and Meurabo, I would say if I had boar, then I would say you don't need H, I still need H, because Koach and Urabo is more of a svara to say you're putter than a pit that's just sitting there.
Yes,
what?
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, that.
Koach and Urabo is more of a kula to say you're putter.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's like you said before, the case that one board is in the parent closet and nothing else is.
Okay, so that's not a problem. You're throwing something new. Right? It's fine. No, it's fine. Right? So you want to suggest now that maybe there's a chumra that exists in Bor that does not exist anywhere else. What's that chumra? So, what are you done suggesting? It's something that Tosfos is going to bring up in the Tosfos Dimaskal below. It was at the beginning of last time. Maybe we'll see the end of it shortly. Tosfos says, quoting from a Gemara later on, that there is a chumra that exists. If I only had Bor, right, and that's the obvious question, is if we're going from the most chamor to the most kal, what if I change directions? What if I only had bor? Right, I ask you I don't know if it's a simple or more complicated question, it's a different question. Right, I stuck together three out of four, I'm not talking about the fourth. What if you only had Bor? Let's say that because we started the opposite order. What if we only had Bor? I mean, nothing else.
Wait, you think it's more likely to be five than that?
I'm asking. I'm only asking because it's fleshing out the story that Ishan was saying. If I only had Bor, so I would say, I think, right, if I'm chayiv for a Bor, that's not going anywhere, and it's not kavanah so lahazik. So certainly, shouldn't I be chayiv for my ox that's going to gore somebody on purpose? But we were a little bit jaded by the Mishnah. The Mishnah started with Shor, maybe because it was written first in the Torah, maybe because it's the most chamor, and went down.
I think no.
Okay, 1 second. I'll explain why in a second. But what about if I started with Bor, just with Bor and nothing else? Again, answering this question may help answer my question, if there's an answer to my question. But starting, why not? Why not Bor? So maybe, yeah.
Why? I think you can extend it out because I think, like you said, I think Bor has an intrinsic.
Oh, so let's good. You'll elaborate in a second. But we're throwing out something that Tosos said, so let's just see the Tosos inside. Most of you guys, I don't think, saw it this morning, but that's fine. Look, the Tosos in Raskol Velo, not Tosos low, don't the vav. Smack in the middle of Tosos, towards the end of the line, it says Ubisefa, right after Achulei.
Yeah.
Everybody see it? Yeah. Got it? It says Ubisefa.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it?
Yeah.
Alright, got it? Almost? Ubisefa, right there. Okay. Ubisefa! Gabe Bor, when it comes to the Bor, Havamotze Lameimor, I could have said it's important words, right? Mishnah didn't say it, but it could have said. Meaning, when we said in the Mishnah all of these different svaros, it doesn't mean that these are the only svaros. We only needed one svara in order to be able to proceed. Because once we have the difference, our mission is good, and we know what Torah needed. But it doesn't mean that those are the only logical differences that exist. I could have told you there's a different svara when it comes to Bor. What's the svara when it comes to Bor? Have a matzi lemeimar. Lo harei abor shetchilas asiyaso lenezek harei elu. Tosos is asking our question. Tosos is saying, so now that I know which one is the most kal, so let me start with that one, and then I'll know everything else. If I know Bor is going to be Chayiv, Kal Vachomer, everything else. Right? Kal Vachomer, everything else. So Tosos throws in a new svar. What Itam was saying before, Shechilas Asiyasu L'Nezid. It inherently is a more of a damager than any of the other ones. You're right. The Shor will sometimes get ticked off and gore somebody. It's also going to be threshing, and it's also going to be doing Shor things. Whatever the Shor is, plowing, whatever Shor does. And this cow is going to eat, and that's what a cow does. But it's not always going to be eating things that are damaging. It's going to be eating the grass it's supposed to eat. But a Bor, you know, when you have a pit, there has to be a sign there from the beginning. You know, there doesn't have to be a sign, beware of Shor. You're right, you have to be careful. That's not what the Shor is about. A Bor, from its very inception, is a tremendous damager. So if I know that you're chayiv for that, maybe the level of shmira that I need for something which is going to cause potentially such damage is higher. And if that ends up damaging, I'm chayiv, and I can't learn from that to anything else. So that's the answer. That's what Eitan was answering when it comes to Bor. So if I only had Bor, I could not learn everything else out. But that doesn't answer my question. That doesn't answer my question. Because now if I stick Bor together with Shor and Mave, then the main factor can't be Tchilas Asiyasu L'Nezek anymore, because Shor and Mave don't possess that trait. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Nothing possesses that trait. Nothing possesses that trait. What's the answer to my question? Let's see the continuation of Tosos. He's not going to do it directly, but he'll sort of answer it. So we're getting a little vaseva guy, you are matzah name lo hara borchla da zel de kare elu. Velo chash lefi, didn't bother telling it to us. Lefi shehifsik be'ech. Once the Torah threw, I'm sorry, what Torah? Once the Mishnah threw an H, then Tchila Sasyosu Nezek's not going to be an important factor anymore. So we only needed something to distinguish a boar from what came before.
Why
does
once
you put
an H on
something
like that not
relevant? Because it's the most
calm. Right. Meaning, if I was trying to figure out H post boar, I would have done boar first. Then, if I would have. Again.
Well, we're only trying to.
We were trying to go from. We were trying to go down in order. So the same when it comes to boar, we could have said Harry Borch does yes on Nezek, Harry Elo is not like the other ones. And then we would have still tried to figure out H. Meaning we could have said that as the Svar to be Mechalik. But once we say the Svara, because the Dark Land of Lahazik is one Svara, but I would have said I still need a pasuk for boar because of Tchilas Asiyasu L'Nezek. But once I already have H, so then Dark and Eilech L'Hazek as opposed to Ruach Chaim, sorry. If I would have only had, take a step back a second. If I would have put boar before H, then I would have said that the difference between H and boar, no. I said it wrong again.
Oh, because we keep
Ruach Chaim. Right. If I only had the first two, if I only had Shor and Maveh, and if Ruach Chaim, then if I would have said, well, why do I need to have Eish? So I would have said because Eish is Tfilah Chasiyasu L'Nezek. Right?
No.
Why not?
Eish.
I said Eish now?
Yeah.
Four. Okay. Let's go back to those dry erase markers. Let's say it again. Pretend for a moment that we flipped it, and that the order of the Mishnah was Eish. No, the order of the Mishnah was Bor before Eish in the second clause, right? So we put together Shor and Maveh, and we say those two things we need them both, and those two things are Ruach Chaim. Why do I need to then have Bor? Because Bor is Tchilas Asiyasu L'Nezek. So I might have said even if you're Chayim. For Eish, no, for no. Sure.
You would think that you would know Bor. I think the
order. Not know Bor, right?
No, meaning I think it's Bor, then the it's Shor, Mava, and then the fire. Meaning if you have fire, you know all of them, because it's most. It's the least likely to be Chayav, and Bor is the most. The
opposite.
What do you mean?
We're saying now that Eish is the least likely to be Chayav.
Sorry, at least I can be Chayev, therefore, if it's Chayev, then you know all the other ones.
One second. Okay. We have the order of the Mishnah, the order, not the beginning of the Mishnah, the order of this figuring out the Mishnah. Okay, let's hold the couple. I'm going to try to say this the right way now. Without getting confused. We have Shor and we have Maveh. If we only had Shor and Maveh in the Torah, and now I would have said, are you Chayev for Bor or not? I would have said, well, those two things have Ruach Chaim. Bor does not have Ruach Chaim. At that point, I may have said that the svara of boar is tchilas asiyasu l'nezek. That's why boar is different, right? That's what Tosfos is saying right now.
Then you'd be chayav.
That's more of a reason to say that you.
Yeah.
That's why we need to have boar.
Right.
No, the opposite.
No, then you wouldn't need.
Then you wouldn't need boar.
No,
because it's less.
Tchilas l'nezek is boar. No.
Yeah.
If you want to say tchilas l'nezek.
Then he wouldn't need boar, so
you can't say tchilas.
Meaning you wouldn't need to say boar is chayav because it's so obvious because it's not less.
Okay, that's not what Tosfos was trying to say. I apologize. Start again. Let's see if we can just finish that quickly. B'seifa gabi boar, b'matzalei olor, b'matzalei olor, b'matzalei olor, b'matzalei olor. It could have said, meaning he's asking this. He's addressing a different question. I apologize. Tosfos wants to know this. Once I told you that we need the svara, because I could have flipped it on their head, why did the Mishnah not throw in that bor is different, even at the end. Why doesn't the Mishnah throw in a line that says, and don't think you can learn out from bor because to everything else? Meaning, we've been going in one order. We've been going down, right? Shor, mava, ish, bor. But now that I get to bor, shouldn't the Mishnah have thrown in a line that says, and bor can't go back up and learn everything else because bor is tefilas asiyas olamezek? The question that we ask, why did the Mishnah spell it out? That's what Tosfos wants to know. So how come at the end of this Mishnah, before we get to the Zakhal, why didn't it tell us this svar, which would have avoided this obvious question?
Isn't it obvious?
Well, it's obvious.
If bor is the last thing you get to, then obviously if it was the first one, you wouldn't be able to establish everything else.
That's what they're saying, that the kasha. So then why don't you know the other parshios? So it should have said, I need them all because I can't learn from bor. Because as much as bor can't be learned from those, bor also can't be the only source, because bor is tefilas asiyas ol nezek, and therefore I can't learn any of the other ones. So it's circular. Yeah. But the Mishnah only went one direction. The Mishnah should have gone back up and said, and don't tell me at the end of this Mishnah that I can learn everything from bor, because bor is tefilas asiyas ol nezek. But it should have said, v'lo hare habor ki hare everything else, because of the kasha that we asked, Postal is saying the Mishnah should have just said it. It should have been a one liner at the end of the Mishnah and says, and don't think bor, because bor is the most kal, because it's not moving anywhere. So if you're chayav on bor, certainly you're chayav on everything else. Postal said, you can't say that. Why? Because why did the Mishnah tell me that? Why did the Mishnah go full circle and just say, that bor, that's what Tosfos is saying. Okay? So Tosfos explains, this is going to be the not such satisfactory answer, but it's an important one to know. You got to know. Again, when we get to the end of the Mishnah, what's the most...
Avamina, that bor would allow you to get to everything else from bor?
Because bor, the way the Mishnah said it right now, bor is the most kal, it's not moving. So if the only factor of bor is that a bor doesn't move and it can potentially cause damage, so wouldn't I say that if my ox gores, if I'm responsible for my boar, which doesn't move, so shouldn't I certainly be responsible for my ox that can run around goring people?
Yeah.
So I would have said that. What's the reason not? Because maybe the level of responsibility for a boar is greater because it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. But why didn't the Mishnah just tell me that? So it says Tosos that the reason it didn't say Lufisha Hipsik Velochat, it didn't bother. Levisha Hipsik Be'esh, because it already threw in Esh. Ubor lo ratzu l'shanos kodem Esh, and we didn't want to put bor before Esh. Dim kein hava asi Esh minei. Tekulu asu mi bor b'chad mechanach. You know what Tosfos just said? The Gemara is going to tell us later on that my question, can't you learn out Esh from Shor, Mavet, and bor? The answer is you could have. Gemara is going to prove later on that if you stick bor together with all you need are two in the end. All you need are two. If you stick bor together with any one of the other three, you can derive the other two.
That ruins everything.
What it ruins everything that we've been spending a day on, right? Yeah, that's it's not going to be so satisfactory. So why does it do it this way? Why did the Mishnah do it? V'locha v'chanach yamin v'gemara v'atana herich l'hagdil Torah v'yadir. And the Tana wrote in a longer way just to beautify the svaros of the Torah. But in the end, is it true? Chris was saying it's true. Again, it's true that the Gemara, it is true that the Gemara and Da'pei does say that in the end we could learn out more for everything else. Why are the Pesukim going to be there in the Torah? That question, the answer to that is that they're all necessary for details of drushas within the type of damage. Meaning the same way that I read you the Pesukim at Bor, and I told you it says Shor v'chamor, and Rashi told us that it means, you know, to exclude people, without the Pesukim being written there, we wouldn't have known those dinims. There are reasons that it's said there, but it's not because of what we've been talking about for the last day and a half.
So you would know...
If you stuck bor together with anything else, I was sort of, meaning I would say it's exercise of utility, but l'hagdil Torah l'adira, I was sort of trying to get you guys to come to this conclusion on your own, without saying Tosfos, which sort of did. Right? We went through all the permutation, and so that once you go through them all, the reality is that you don't need them. But they're all still important to define in the avos, and we need to make sure that we understand what those items are. I don't want to keep you guys too late. We'll Bezus Hashem pick up with this tomorrow, and then finish up the Mishnah. And there are some very important svaras we have to deal with before we go on to the Gemara.